Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is February 17th, 2023. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by 100 Love Spells. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "In order to rise from its own ashes, a phoenix must first burn," by Octavia E. Butler. So today we're talking about stone soup, which I'm going to be honest, I've never like fully got this. So I'm hoping today we learn because we are doing a month of soups for February. So stone soup. According to stonesoup.com, oh, there's a whole website. The stone soup story revolves around a clever man with a charismatic personality who can get people to help him when their first instinct is not to. This is the aspect of the story that folklorists have focused on. Folklorists place the stone soup story with the clever man category of the Arne Thomas Uther folklore classification system that they use to organize. So it's under that category, but I don't even know what that means. So let's like keep going. So where does the original stone soup story come from? Is it a genuine folk tale, or in the sense that it had a long life of oral tradition from being published to print, or is it a creation of authors for hire? Both? We don't actually know. So what is this stone soup story? I like vaguely feel like I heard it in school, but I couldn't tell you. So here's how it goes. Once upon a time, a wise old man decided to go on a journey. So he packed a small bag, said goodbye to his wife, and set off. He traveled all day without meeting anyone, and when it was evening, he came to a small village. Quote, "I think I'll need to stop here for the night," unquote, he said to himself. Near the center of the village, he met a group of people, so he introduced himself. Quote, "I'm a simple traveler," he said, "looking for a safe place to sleep and a hot meal." "We'd be glad to offer you a place to sleep," the villagers told him, "but we have very little food. Our crops are very poor this year, and there's not much to eat in the whole village. Most of us are just barely getting by." "I'm sorry to hear that," the old man said, "but you needn't worry about feeding me. I already have everything I need. In fact, I was thinking of making some stone soup to share with all of you." "Stone soup?" the villagers asked. "What's that? We've never heard of stone soup." "Oh, it's wonderful," said the old man. "Best soup I've ever tasted. If you bring me a soup pot and some water, I'll make some for all of us." And so the villagers rushed back to their homes, and when they returned, one was carrying a large soup pot, another had wood for fire, and others brought water. When the fire was going and the water had begun to boil, the old man took out a small silk pouch, and with great ceremony, he reached in and pulled out a smooth, round stone. He carefully dropped the stone into the boiling water. The villagers watched eagerly. The old man began to slowly stir the pot, sniffing the aroma and licking his lips in anticipation. "I do like tasty stone soup," he said. "Of course, stone soup with cabbage. Now that's really special." "I might be able to find a bit of cabbage," one villager said, and off she went to her house, returning a small cabbage she had stored away in her pantry. "Wonderful," he said, and he added the cabbage to the pot. "This reminds me of the time I had stone soup with cabbage and a bit of salted beef. It was unbelievably good." After a moment of silence, the village butcher spoke up. "I know where there's a bit of salted beef," he said, and off he went to his shop to get it. And when he returned, the old man added beef to the soup pot and continued to stir. Can you imagine what this soup would taste like if we had a bit of onion and perhaps a few potatoes, a carrot or two, some mushrooms? Oh, this would be a meal fit for royalty. And before he knew it, the soup pot was filled to the brim with vegetables of all kinds, carrots and potatoes, mushrooms and onions, turnips and green beans, beets and celery, all brought by the men and women and children of the village. Not only that, but the village baker came out with some fresh bread and butter. And as the soup simmered slowly over the fire, the wonderful aroma began to waft over the villagers, and they began to relax and talk together, sharing songs and stories and jokes. When the soup was finally done, the old man ladled it into bowls, and they all shared a delicious meal together. There was more than enough for everyone to eat. Afterward, they all declared it was the best soup they'd ever tasted. The mayor of the village pulled the old man aside and quietly offered him a great deal of money for the magic stone, but the old man refused to sell it. The next morning, he woke early and picked up his belongings. As he was leaving the village, he passed a group of children playing by the side of the road. He handed the youngest one the silk pouch containing the stone, and he whispered, "It was not the stone that performed the magic. It was all of us together." So that's the story of stone soup, which obviously it's a really popular story if like folklorists are like debating it and talking about it, you know. But I like, you know, it definitely seems like the whole point is that like individually we have little, but when we come together, our littles become a lot, you know, and, it is pretty cool. All right. So, it is Black History Month and we have been making a point throughout the month to, do a little extra inclusion. If you noticed, if you haven't, I mean, we really try to talk about it all year, so you may not have noticed, you know, but we are talking today about someone we've actually talked about quite a bit before, Zora Neale Hurston. And this article, lithub.com, "How Zora Neale Hurston's Study of Voodoo Helped Me Grieve, Tracy Rose Payton on Making Peace with Her Father." "I never drink alone. Whenever the desire strikes, I go to the kitchen and pull out two glasses. The first is a stemmed wine glass, the lone survivor of a four-piece set, a housewarming gift from three states and upteenth apartments ago. I pour a few ounces of bourbon into it, drink purists be damned, and set it on a shelf next to my father's funeral program. On its cover is a crop photo I took of him, an image from my brother's wedding reception. I pause now in front of the photo, looking at it, through it, the glass of brown liquid glimmering in the light. It's a quiet moment between my father and I. Though he's in one realm and I in another, I tell him, thank you, for a million unspecified things that need not be named. I can't hear his voice, but I don't need to. For me, this small moment is enough." Years after his death, when I was working on my novel, one of my favorite research wormholes was African-American spirit ways. In this case, hoodoo, also known as conjure or root work, not to be confused with voodoo. Hoodoo is a mix of spiritual practices and deemed folk magic. Others say it's a religion, with all the tensions of both designations can imply. Zora Neale Hurston's documentation of these practices in Hoodoo in America include a long list of prescriptions for nearly every human dilemma, from court scrapes and landlord issues to romantic breakups and betrayals. There's something so comforting about these prescriptions, that someone created a list of simple, orderly procedures to resolve what's often chaotic and confusing in life. It's a window into what our ancestors worried about and the conflicts they dealt with, big and small. This research soon led me to current practitioners who have moved the mom-and-pop storefronts of yesterday into the internet, where they've built thriving online communities. Such groups chart a fascinating through line of the evolution of these practices from the historical accounts of enslaved African Americans to Hurston's anthropological work in the 1920s to stories my mother and her siblings share about growing up in Georgia decades later. And now this cornucopia of online spiritualists offering readings, fixed candles, spiritual baths, and other paraphernalia with the click of a button. Quote, "To avoid fusses and fights in the house, burn salt. First thing Monday morning." Zora Neale Hurston. Fathers often forget that their size, the depth of their voices, can make them scary, make their anger frightful and monstrous in the eyes of their children. And I was an easily scary kid. It worried my mother, the softness in me. Not hardy enough for the world, for the body I was born in, black, female, bone thin. I was always told I needed to be more, larger, louder, harder, thicker. Like him, I had a love-hate relationship with authority. I loved school and the eligibility of it, but I hated the powerlessness of childhood, always being told when to sit or stand, when to get up or go to bed, how to be and when to be it. But he seemed to be the ultimate authority. I thought him oppressive, overprotective, an ogre. I didn't understand until later how lucky I was. So many girls I grew up with had no such hedge when predators came calling. At times, I wonder now if my cowardice needed him to be a monster, a tension to push up against, to move in opposition of. The most urgent reason to venture out into the cold, sharp unknown, if for nothing else than to prove him wrong, to put space between my body and his. Now I'm trying to mend the gulf I spent over a decade making. I can't explain how, but these glasses of alcohol or portion of food makes the gap between us feel shorter, psychically, spiritually, temporally. I don't pretend to get the rituals correct. I'm not exacting in the hour of the lunar cycle or much else. True practitioners would scold my laziness here, my lack of attention to detail, the absence of daily practice, but I can't help but feeling like a fixation with perfection in this area would be one more thing in the way. Another reason to delay, to put off, to leave the rift fixed and unchanging. I'm well versed in those things already. The showing up, the act of reaching out, the remembering feels like true aim for me. And when I receive in return the small bit of contact, the glimmer of his presence is plenty. Some might say that what I'm experiencing during these moments is a friction, is a fiction of my own making. Something I tell myself to feel better about the true cost of holding grudges and chasing dreams far away from my home. Maybe so I'm writing fiction has taught me that facts are the only part of the story. How something feels can be just as true. The meaning we make of details, of memories, of absences can offer us more than we deserve. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, February 17th. The waning crescent moon continues to achieve in Capricorn today. Here, the moon conjoins Pluto. You may be connecting with your inner truth, seeing what you're really made of. We don't always have to confront ourselves in this way. Daily life is full of distractions and responsibilities. But today, especially, we feel pulled to ponder the depths of our own being and truly route our raison d'être, our reason for being. All of us have purpose here, and we don't always align with it. Use this moment to find true north. Your daily moon mantra is, "And into the forest I go to lose my mind and find my soul." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Power of love is alive. Diverse in practice and style, 100 Love Spells is a compendium of love magic brought to you from various witches and authors of Witch Way magazine. Packed with practical magic for the novice and expert alike, this book offers a bit of insight for all the world's love witches. With these easy-to-master spellcasting tips and tricks, you'll learn how to attract love with spells for confidence, glamour, and passion, awaken lust and celebrate your sensuality, understand the ethics of love magic and free will, and much more. Whether you're looking for new love, strengthening an existing one, or healing yourself in the process, 100 Love Spells is for those looking to enhance their lives with the potent and powerful magic of love. Available for order online at your local bookshop or wherever books are sold.
We are back, and this is from the February 2023 issue of Witch Way magazine, 3 Wild Ways to Combat Stress in Relationships. Rising above turbulent times in relationships can be challenging. It may be a call for total rebirth or to tweak some minor aspects. Relationships can be challenging. There are archetypal forces at play, unconscious patterns to dissolve, and world events that all mix into the energy of the relationship. Sometimes it can easily revert to settling or wield the same old psychological tricks. Leave the room, find a new lover, ghost a new friend. Ultimately, we are called to rise to wield greater energy in challenging relationship dynamics. The following three wild ways will offer you new approaches to wield a more fruitful relationship with yourself and others. If I didn't mention, this is written by Sarah Little. Wild way one, spend time in nature. Get some fresh air. Head to the land, sea, or space where you can bask in fresh air. Take only what you need and leave your phone at home. If you are alone, let yourself reflect on the landscape. Be still and listen. What emerges for you in the body? How does the earth liberate and loosen you, relax you? If you are with another, be present, fully present. Rise above the noise of what was said, the tears that were shed, or the past hurt that may have been done. Behold this person standing or sitting before you. See them for who they are, beyond your stories. And most importantly, when they speak, listen with a loving heart. Wild way two, try non-reactive communication. Suppose anyone has annoyed you and you've done something out of rage. Taking time away from the situation is essential to reflect and clarify on what happened and why before you react. If you are alone, you may want to write in your journal what happened. Write down your thoughts using statements, using I statements. For example, I feel sad because I didn't act as I had hoped. If you're feeling stressed, you may also want to write down everything that is stressing you out. If you are with another, if emotions are high, take time to be alone or do something else that doesn't involve talking about something stressful. When our emotions are high, it is essential to clear the air. You may want to take a walk together or be alone, get some perspective, and when you are both ready to talk in a non-defensive manner, talk. Wild way three, create a heathen sanctuary. Whether you live with others or live alone, having your own wild sanctuary can help you connect with your wild soul. The sanctuary should be in a space where there is little noise or interruption. It can be indoors or outdoors. Most importantly, your sanctuary is a safe space to unwind and reconnect to your power. Decorate your heathen sanctuary with items that represent your magic and personal charm. It can be an elaborate setup with a gorgeous couch, ceremonial objects, essential oils, and journals. Or it may simply be a cushion on the floor with some incense. This is your space to retrieve your howl. Come here when you need to reclaim yourself as a whole again. When you feel grounded in yourself, it is easier to manage stress. Remember, your relationships are going to change and evolve over time. If things are challenging, try to see the reasons why. Is it the other person, or are you overworked? Is your diet not good? Is exercise non-existent? And if your lover or friend isn't taking care of themselves, it may be harder to have a soul-stirring relationship. Take care of your foundations first. Look after the little things, and the potent magic of the relationship will shine through. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. We do have a card pull before we leave. Our card is Dance from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle. This card appears when you may be going to see your favorite band. If your favorite song came on the radio or you heard a song that brought back hard memories, turn up the volume and have that dance party without thinking twice. You will inspire someone else to do the same. Music is the universal language that can help integrate the many paths life takes us down. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we've talked about today can be found on the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. Don't forget, we do have a new book out, The Magic of Trees. If you do need to get into nature to de-stress, just to connect and feel a part of something, this is a great book. It's full of meditation, spells, rituals, with often all you need is a tree, which pretty great. And that's it. We will talk next week.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.